Hi, I'm Vaya Skinner, Coordinator for Campus Communications, and welcome to HCC 360. Summer may seem a ways off at this point, but planning for it starts right now. If you have school-age children and are looking for fun educational camps for them in the summer of 2023, we have information for you. WHFC student intern Mohamed Bangura sat down with Kelly Pulaski, Coordinator of Youth Programs here at HCC, to learn more about Camp Curiosity. Let's get into it.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do here at HCC?
Sure. My name is Kelly Pulaski. I am the coordinator for youth programs here at the college that is on the non-credit side of the house, working within community education. So I service children with enrichment programs and summer camps from 3 years old up to the graduate high school.
And how long have you been working with children?
I have been working with children for about a decade professionally, and I've been at the college since 2019.
How did it go last summer for your camp?
Really good. We came back last summer in full swing from post-pandemic. We had offered a smaller version of the camp the year prior. So last year was our big full offerings. We had campers in three different buildings and running around on athletic facilities and in different labs. And, it was great to see kids on campus for 8 straight weeks. We had about 1,300 students and campers roam around all summer long. So it was nice to see.
How big of an adjustment was it from leaving like the pandemic to doing it normally?
Sure. So, I think it was like riding a bike. It came back really naturally for all of my staff. And it was just good to be in that environment and being with the kids in that space and having things back to almost normal. So it wasn't a huge adjustment. It was more difficult going the opposite way and having a lot of restrictions and safety protocols. So it was kind of like riding a bike and getting back to normal.
Did you have, restrictions? So were you guys having trouble, finding, programs and activities for the kids to do while y'all were going through that?
Sure. So during the pandemic, we are regulated through COMAR and Maryland Department of Health, our summer camps are. So there was a lot of restrictions put in place for safety protocols, such as distancing and sharing of materials and the number of campers that could be in a program. So that limited us in what we could do. So, for example, some of our sport camps we weren't able to run or we had to adjust the way that we offered those because students couldn't share that equipment. And within sports, a lot of times, even if you're playing soccer, you can't really pass the ball back and forth and clean it every time in between. So it was some restrictions put into place. But we adapted really well, and we got a lot of feedback from that. And thankfully, those restrictions have since lifted, and we're able to move forward from them.
Mm. What are the general hours for the camp? And is there before and after care?
Yeah. So our full day camps are from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. And then at half day camp is 9 to 12. We do also offer before and after care for our working parents, campers who need additional care. So we open as early as 7:30 and we close at 5:30 officially. The before and after care is an additional fee that the parents can enroll them in at the time of registration when they're signing up.
How much is it?
$25 for each per week.
When you put the camps together, is it more of an emphasis on learning, or is it more of an emphasis on fun and the activities that you do? Or is it a combination of both?
Yeah, definitely a combination of both. We like to look at what the student interests are, what the trends are, and what things the kids are going to want to do, and then we try to infuse that educational component in a more disguised way. Summer camps have a big impact on a child's social interactions. It's an opportunity for them to try new things, for them to explore, different friendships and things along those lines. So we do try to do a combination of both, but everything ultimately is hands-on and engaging, so that way they have something tangible that they're doing or working on continuously, so they are just constantly busy. We always get feedback from parents that my kid fell asleep in the car, they were so tired from the day at camp, which I take as a positive thing, meaning
time, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good thing. We put them to work and made sure that they had a fun time. So definitely the educational component is in there, especially for some of our middle school and high school camps, but that social component and just the ability to have fun and to let loose and be a kid is really a top focus too.
Do you feel like the you said the center, the focus, I forget what the word that you use, but when you look at trends and stuff, mm-hmm. what's the trend for this year?
Yeah, so definitely at the end of each summer, I kind of take a look at what was our most popular camps, and our trends always are within the video game world, I feel like, right now, and technology. So things like our Minecraft and Roblox camps, those have historically been super popular, and when I ask the kids what they want next summer, that's the top of their list. Mm-hmm. But some new things that we're bringing on that kids have really been asking for, which I think is like is a bringing back. It was really popular when I was a kid, but Pokemon and Mario Kart were two things that were super asked for that we're going to be introducing into the next summer camp season, which I know very little about, but I've been doing my research and learning and developing those camps to bring those trends back to campus. But some of the other things that are super popular, we have building your own PC camp, so you learn how to build your own computer. That's super trendy right now and super interesting to some of our high school level campers, so we're bringing that one back as well.
As the years goes on, like, do you see like a bigger emphasis on technology and implementing that into the camp?
Yes, definitely. So this year, actually, we're bringing in smartphone photography and like digital storytelling, which is just so interesting. We've always offered photography using like a traditional DSLR camera, but now, you know, kids want to be able to use their smartphone and don't want to have to invest in an expensive camera. And smartphones have really amazing capabilities and apps and stuff now. So we're offering a camp with that. So it's just interesting to see how the trends go. You know, historically we've always offered photography, but now we're implementing something that's a little bit more unique to the generation that we're serving.
I know most of these have a tuition or a fee, but the Gen Cyber Smart Girls Camp, can you tell me more about that one? That's the only one on here that is free.
That is free, yes. So that is our grant-funded camp. It's funded through the NSA. Girls. It's open to girls and boys of in middle school. They can apply, and the applications for that will most likely go live in January of 2023, and you can apply to participate in those two camps. We take 40 girls total, or 40 participants total for those camps, and it's completely free. You get meals and everything, but within that application you have to write a letter as to why this would be something that would benefit you, why you want to attend the camp. You have to get letters of recommendation. You have to show proof of grades. So it is an extensive application, but it's a very worthwhile experience. Because it is grant funded by the NSA, we get a lot of really amazing guest speakers within the field of cybersecurity and tech that come in and talk to the campers. They get a lot of really hands-on training in coding and circuits, and they work with Arduinos and they hack Roombas. They do some really cool things. So it's a really great experience. And because it's grant funded, we're able to offer it for free.
I know you guys have a lot of other programs like that as well. Like there's creative writing, there's forensic science, there's a lot of IT ones. Do you feel like adding that into the program gives students like an idea or help them try to figure out what they want to do in the future?
Yeah, so one of our goals on the continuing ed side is of the house in the college is to help identify pathways for students to determine whether or not, you know, entering the workforce is the right thing for them after they graduate high school, or going into a trade program, or, you know, what they want to study at a university or a community college. So some of those programs that are specific to more of an academic topic, such as what you mentioned, forensic science or creative writing, those I think students sign up for if they have an interest. It might spark an idea for them to generate a career pathway, and we help guide them the best we can through that process.
What's the main demographic? Is it mostly younger kids or older kids?
So we actually, traditionally, we serviced primarily elementary campers. That is the norm for most camps across, you know, Maryland and America, is the parents use summer camp as a form of childcare. But in most recent years, we've actually seen a big boost in our middle school population of campers. So it's an enrichment-based program for students to get into, as opposed to just sitting at home all day. So parents are looking for opportunities for some of those older students to come in. So actually, in the past few years, our largest population has been that middle school 11 to, you know, 13, 14-year-old range.
Now, since the middle school population is growing, do you think that even though they gain the intangibles of being social from being in school, that you could create courses and like camps for them to get ready for high school, since that's such a like dramatic change? in their life?
Yeah, so we don't offer that specifically in the summer camp realm, but we have offered that in the non-credit side of the house to really help them prepare for high school and that transition. And a lot of high schools and middle schools in Harford County offer that opportunity for those transition courses to really set them up for success because it is a huge gap jumping from eighth grade into high school. You know, there's a lot more independence that goes into it. So not directly in summer camp, but in other ways we have.
Well, speaking of that, what other classes do you plan on adding other than the ones that you've already added?
So we do try to run a couple programs in the evening and on weekends for children who aren't able to attend our full-day summer camps. So we have a very active culinary teaching kitchen here on campus, so we utilize that a lot of the summer, not only through our camp week, but on the weekends and evenings. And then we do a lot of SAT prep classes over the summer for our high school students. We do driver's ed programs. We do college and career readiness programs. So heavier on that academic side of the house, outside of our summer camp, which is more traditionally that enrichment and fun things.
Do you have guest speakers for other activities and camps other than cybersecurity?
A little bit. So actually one of the camps that we do here, our mobile movie makers camp, they actually come and tour WHFC. They stop by and they get a little behind the scenes look. So a little bit, not as much as we would like. It is, you know, during the day when a traditional speaker is full-time working. So it's a little bit challenging sometimes to get guest speakers in, but we do our best. Dr. Sherwood here on campus has offered to come in and do a guest lesson for students. So we are always open and encouraging folks to come through. We had Screech, the HCCL, come through and visit the kids last summer. So anyone and is welcome. Just reach out to me if they would like to pop in and say hi to the kids.
Are the food camps still very popular?
So popular. They typically have long wait lists. We do have one of the only teaching kitchens in Harford County, and we are one of the only, if not the only, kitchens that allow students under the age of 10 into the kitchen. So we do start as young as 8 years old, and we offer anything from baking to dining around the world. This year we are bringing in some of those popular, trendy things that you might see on TV, like Food Network. We're doing a junior chef competition. Where they're going to be doing, you know, cooking and some food truck recipes, some things like that that, you know, might spark kids' interest because we have been running culinary camps for many, many years, and typically we do repeat them, but we see a lot of students coming back, so we're trying to bring in some new, fresh ideas for them.
But speaking of food, though, what about the food truck camp?
Yeah. So the food truck camp is going to be a new initiative this upcoming summer. And the goal is for the students to not only learn food truck recipes and how to cook them and that fast paced speed that they need to be able to produce food in, but they're also going to learn, you know, kind of the behind the scenes and what you might need to do if you wanted to go that route as a career path and how you would go about, you know, starting up your own food truck.
I see that the art offerings, too, have also grown in these. So can you tell me more about, like, the art programs and stuff that you guys offer?
So we have at least one art camp per week this summer. That was the goal. And we are trying to get art camps for children as young as 6 all the way up through high school. So our younger camps are more experiential, so it's an introductory class. Sometimes they're based around crafts and just to really get them hands on the materials and exploring art. And then what we're most proud of is our fine art programs. So we have very specific art classes such as painting mediums or drawing with pen and ink. So they're working with very different or very specific types of art materials and mediums to learn a very specific skill, and that is something that we are very proud of because there's very limited access to higher level art classes in Harford County, especially in the public schools, so we're excited to be able to have that opportunity for our art students out there in the county.
What other areas do you guys feel like you guys want to grow on in the future?
Sure. So some of the things that we are looking to bring in down the road are going to be like experiences. We once upon a time were doing field trips and off-campus activities, and we have really kind of stayed local to the college and not really ventured out recent years. So that would be something that we would like to bring in so that way the campers have an opportunity to get outside of Harford County.
I know you guys have like some kind of like really like niche ones, like lights, curtain, action, Dungeons and Dragons. Blast Off, the Mock Trial, Olympic Games, stuff like that. What was the thought process behind bringing those into the program?
Sure. So one of the biggest ways that I plan our camp programming is by the campers' interest levels. So I always look at historical data of what they've been interested in, but then I get hands-on and talk to the campers each week during the summer camp and say, hey, I'm glad you're here, glad you're enjoying what you're doing now. What do you want to do next summer? And so I take those ideas, I add them all up, and kind of try to group them together. And so that's where the Blast-Off Camp and science camps for that elementary school age group came and stemmed from, and our Dungeons and Dragons camp is brand new this summer, and that stemmed from an interest from many middle school and high school students to want to start that. So it mainly comes from what the campers are asking, but I also do a lot of research around what other camps are offering, not only locally in Harford County, but in the state of Maryland, and try to borrow those ideas as well and see if they are successful there, so that way we can give kids an opportunity. Hey, I didn't think of that, but that sounds interesting. I'm going to try it.
The Gen Cyber Smart Goals Camp, is that the first one that you guys have had that's been funded by a grant?
No, actually. So last summer we did have a biotech grant that came through, and so that was for high school level students, and that was a biology specific camp, and that was hosted in our biology labs over in Aberdeen Hall. And then in previous years we've actually worked with the Harford Community College Foundation, and they've offered scholarships for camps, and students could apply, and then they could choose which camp that they wanted to participate in, so it wasn't for a specific camp. And we do also actually work with DSS, Department of Social Services, and so students that they serve can apply through them, and then DSS will pay for their camp choice, and we work directly with them to fund those programs.
What is Kids in College?
So Kids in College is our traditional summer day camp, so it's something that you might see at some other camp programs around the country, where the kids in elementary school get experiences in everything from arts and crafts to sports and fitness, technology, a little bit of cooking, and things along those lines. So it's an opportunity for the kids who might not have like a niche or an interest in something specific, and they can kind of just float through different classes throughout the day. So they get a little bit of everything. Yeah, it's just generalized. It's very popular. It's for 6 to 10-year-olds, and we do typically fill those weeks. They fill quickly as well, and we offer themed weeks for those. So each week is a different theme in Kids in College. So that way if kids repeat, they aren't doing the same activities week after week.
In the back of my mind, I'm thinking about all the stuff that I did when I was in.
Right? Everyone always remembers their summer camp experience. It definitely makes an impact.
Yes, I did it for like 3 years. Mm-hmm. So like, I don't know if you ever looked up what KinderCare does, but we did field trips and stuff.
Yeah.
Too. What kind of field trips did the students go on? If y'all do field trips.
So previously we used to offer field trips, and we would take them down to D.C. or into Baltimore and do museums and the aquarium, things along those lines. And, anything like outdoorsy, so places to go hiking and experience things like that.
Nature.
Yeah.
Lego engineering and Roblox. I feel like a lot of kids like to do stuff like that, like stuff like with their hands, and they have to like build stuff. That's why probably Minecraft is the most popular game. Like, I think it's the highest sold game ever.
It is, because it's Legos infused, I feel like, with a video game. So, yeah, it's very popular. We run that camp at least 3 times a summer because it fills so quickly and has long wait lists. It's one of our most popular. But I pride our camp on not just being time for the kids to come in and play video games all day. There is a lot of education behind it, and coding and things along those lines. We have really great instructors that plan challenges and infuse that academic component, so they're not just sitting in front of a screen for 8 hours.
Middle school band. I didn't see that too. I see that there's like a lack of music and stuff like that.
Yeah, so that is something that hasn't been our strongest offerings. We do offer Summer Strings, which is an orchestra-based program. That's for middle school and high schoolers, and we have middle school band, like you just mentioned, and we are bringing in a ukulele camp. So it is a goal to bring in more music experiences for, campers. That is just, unfortunately, we have been struggling to find the staff who are available and willing to instruct those programs.
What are you looking for when you're recruiting staff members?
Yeah, so big thing is experience. We do require that they have at least 1 year experience either working within a camp setting or working with children, whether it's in a teaching field or such. We look for staff that have expertise, educational backgrounds, degrees, certifications, or what have you in the area that they are looking to teach. So if they're looking to teach one of our theater camps, but they've never been on stage or worked in the theater before, then they're probably not going to be the best fit. So someone who has that experience and has that qualifications is definitely important when, for our instructors that are looking to lead those programs. And then in terms of our camp aides, which are more like counselors and our support staff, the first requirement for that is they do need to be a high school graduate. They need to be at least 17 with a high school diploma, or they need to be 18 years old and considered an adult. And so that's the first requirement. And then beyond that, we do ask that they have at least 1 year experience working with children, whether it be in a volunteer or professional setting. And our goal is always to try to recruit those who are within college career paths to work with children, whether it's elementary education or social services or wherever they might potentially end up working with children once they graduate. So that way, it's not only good for our kids and our campers that are with us, but it's a good experience and good resume builder for them and good learning experience for that young staff members.
What kind of challenges do you run into personally, like leading the summer camp?
Sure. So I always refer to summer camp as like a jigsaw puzzle that you're constantly working on, but the picture always ends up changing. So you never finish because there's always new challenges each and every day. Some, you know, aren't necessarily bad. It's just the way the world works when you're working with children and in this environment. So, you know, it's just always being on your toes and always having your walkie-talkie available and willing to, you know, get in and get involved. You know, things happen, staff call out or camper gets sick or, you know, you run out of tissue paper or something, you know. So there's definitely, like, larger emergencies and things that, you know, you just kind of go with the flow and adapt. And, you know, I pride my staff on being able to do that. We hire really strong individuals who are able to go with the flow. And, you know, last summer, the whole Harford County lost power, you know, for a day and a half, and so did the college. So that was fun. So we just, you know, we just go with the flow, and top priority is always safety, and the next thing is just making sure the kids are having a good experience, whatever they're doing.
That's awesome. Oh yeah, isn't WHFC is doing a camp here as well? What are the dates for that?
Yes. Ah, that's a great question. I don't know that off the top of my head. I should, because I've been in this for like...
I only know because Paul just told me.
I don't know off the top of my head. Here it is. Okay, so the WHFC Radio Learning Lab is July 17th through the 21st. It is a half-day camp from 9 to 12 for high school-level students. And it's going to be hosted in the WHFC studio, and they're going to get hands-on experiencing, learning to do interviews and broadcasting skills and things like that. So it's going to be a really great experience, and it's going to be limited. So I believe we're going to limit it to 8 to 10 campers. So it's going to be a very specialized program.
Okay, very, very unique, exotic little field trip that y'all got going on. So where can somebody find more information about your program?
Sure. So I always push them to our website at harford.edu. If you go to the top in the little search button, type in the word camp, we pop up as Camp Curiosity. We are the camp that is affiliated with the college, and we have our own website on the college's page. On there, you can find our camp catalog that will be released in early January for the 2023 season. So it's not up there yet, but you can look at what we did in the past and kind of get an idea. Mm-hmm. You can also find frequently ask questions. Once registration opens, that's where you'll be able to click to register. And there's also our parent handbook, which is a really in-depth handbook that kind of helps potential campers and parents and guardians really understand the policies and procedures that we have behind running the camp. Mm-hmm.
And can they find your contact information?
Yes,
definitely. On the page as well?
So our definitely contact campcuriosity@harford.edu is our email that is on our website. We typically get back to individuals within 24 to 48 business hours. And then we do have a camp direct line, which is 443-412-2468. And that also is a 24 to 48 business hour response time that we do respond to. Any questions or, you know, anyone that just wants to talk through potential camps.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ms. Pulaski, thank you for coming in.
Sure, I appreciate it. It was great to be here.
Yeah, no problem.
Thanks for being with us. In case you missed the contact information, here it is again. Information about the programs offered can be found on the HCC website. Enter CAMP in the search bar. Remember, CAMP registration opens January 23rd. The best email for any questions you have is campcuriosity@harford.edu or call 443-412-2468. Special thanks go to Mohammed Bangora for conducting the interview and to our editor, Zach Cloyd. There's an extended version of this interview on our podcast, HCC 360. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Via Skinner, and HCC 360 will be back next month with another deep dive into amazing opportunities at Harford Community College. Thanks for listening.